Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. We are taping this Thursday, September 12th. I'm Doug Kazarian. Football season alive and well, both NFL and college underway. Travis, you ready for this busy schedule of podcasting?
I'm ready for it. I'm excited to see what happens this weekend.
All right, for those who did not listen to the college football podcast, Travis is our new producer, and we'll be here for both pods throughout. And are you also doing Stanford Steve's?
I am. Bears? Yep, so I'm just going to become a degenerate.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you got the gambling bug. Good, whether you like it or not. As long as you don't have the mono bug, because that news is hitting today, and we got to make sure you're not making out with Sam Darnold or anything.
I didn't know mono was like a thing these days that athletes were still getting, but...
I got it in college. We think I got it in college.
That's really more honest. Understandable to get mono in college.
Why is that?
Well, there's just a lot of things going on in college.
Okay, all right. So, but I mean, there's a lot of things going on in your young 20s and you're rich, right?
Yeah, but you think that his life is a little more stable. He's got food and nutritionists taking care of him. His life is, he's not going out till the wee hours.
Right. So that's a Jets quarterback thing, maybe, because all that, remember Mark Sanchez had all those photos and he was like the cover boy in the New York Post and yeah. Okay, so we're going to discuss that with Mr. Executive Director John Murray coming up. We're also going to talk this interesting Dolphins-Patriots line that is up to 18.5, 19 in the marketplace. We're going to do that in the Bonanza because one of us has a play on that game. And then Mike Clay. So solid showing for Mike Clay, 3-2 in his props. Mike's pretty sharp on this stuff. We have him on Daily Wager, so I would encourage you to heed his advice, even if it's just for fantasy and kind of structuring your lineups. And we got some Bonanza, and so let's get to it. Recapping week one and looking ahead to week two.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Oh, a lot of stories in that open. It never gets old as much as you think it might be. Mr. Executive Director, how are you?
One of the great kicking is for losers moments of all time on Monday night. Your Oakland Raiders benefiting from Vic Fangio's ridiculous field goal attempt down 21-6. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we even had to get into it a little bit yesterday in the college football podcast because it was just burning in our brains. It is literally insane. And as I said, what's more shocking, the fact that he kicked or that the teams haven't figured out these clueless coaches don't understand the concept of kicking field goals and that they haven't hired someone to just say, guy, like, you can't. You absolutely can't.
I think the problem is this. I think that some of these teams do have a guy like that. And like an analytics guy that's there to tell the coach what to do. I don't think the coach is listening to that guy. I think their egos take over in the moment and they think, you know, I know better than this math nerd. I'm not going to listen to this kid. And they just do whatever they want. I think that's what's going on. Because there's no way anyone could possibly think kicking a field goal there down 21-6 with 8.5 minutes left was the right thing to do. There's no one that would ever think that.
What's crazy is they almost had a chance to get a third down stop and get the ball back and force overtime. But I agree with you. And the thing is, it's not about the math nerds and analytics and all that stuff. Like, analytics is when the Eagles score to go up 7 and go for 2 to make it a two point game.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, two possession game. That's like analytics. Man, and like the, like some of the,
true.
Like this is 10-year-old playing Madden football.
You're right. Like, that's a little bit more, and that's a great example, the Eagles going for that too. That's a little bit more advanced that, like, the average person might not be able to comprehend that. But I don't think there's anybody that couldn't comprehend that Denver made a mistake kicking that field goal. And I was really surprised because you bring up Doug Peterson. I like that move he made. That made the score 29-20. I was actually really surprised he kicked the field goal to go up 32-20 later in the game. Instead of just going for it down there by the goal line, I would have just gone for the touchdown there. Even if you don't get it, it's still a two-possession game, and the Redskins are backed up like at the, you know, inside their own 5. So I was a little surprised that Peterson kicked that field goal there to go up 32-20.
It's baffling. It really is baffling. And it's, you know, it reminds me of those people in the casinos who have those little blackjack cards. Like, why can't a coach just have an index card like that? Even though this is like common knowledge to us, but like still, like why can't?
Cliff Kingsbury disappointed me. It was 17-0 Detroit at the end of the first half, and he had a fourth and goal, like right down by the goal line, and he kicked the field goal. And now he got away with it because they ended up coming back for the tie because Matt Patricia's incompetent. But
Darren Bevell called the timeout.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. But I was really surprised that Kingsbury didn't go for it on that fourth and goal.
Yeah, the overrun in the first half was 23.5, so that was interesting right there.
I'm aware of what the first half total was. they had would have been lucky because Detroit muffed a punt, and then on first down, Arizona ran it like almost inside the 1 yard line. And then they threw on second down, they threw on third down, and then they kicked a field goal on fourth down. It wasn't the best sequence there for the Cardinals. Can we say that?
I actually understood some of it, the field goal. I would have gone for it, but like getting on the board, you got a rookie quarterback and trusting your defense. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't that crazy. It was like 10% crazy, I guess is my point.
It wasn't, it wasn't nearly the worst one. Well, I saw much worse ones even in the Sunday night game. I saw Mike Tomlin punting on 4th and inches from midfield down 10-0. And then later in the game, he kicked a field goal. I don't remember exactly what the score was, but he kicked a field goal that accomplished nothing. I saw the Dolphins down 28-0 kick a field goal to make it 28-3. And then the Ravens got the ball back and just immediately scored a touchdown. So you're right. The Cardinal one was pretty benign compared to some of the really bad field goals and punts we saw this weekend. It's funny, though.
What did you think of the fake punt? The Ravens fake punt up 45-10 or whatever it was.
I had stopped watching the game at that point, to be honest. I mean, there's a lot of games going on at 10 a.m. or 1 o'clock Eastern. I was no longer watching. I am aware that the play happened. I don't really have a problem with it.
What do you think is going to happen with your handle and the ticket counts and stuff with this Dolphins? Maybe not when it's a 19-point spread, but just moving forward the rest of the year. Are you going to need the Dolphins every week like you used to have to beat the Browns?
They're going to be like the Browns were 2 years ago is my guess. I mean, you already touched on it, but the ticket count won't be that split or that wide this week. The sharper players don't really like to – they are not the sharper players. The public players don't really like to get involved on these really huge point spreads. That's just not – they usually look elsewhere on the board when we have these really, really big point spreads. And I think that's going to be the case in this game. There is going to be money on the Patriots, of course, but it's not going to be nearly as wide of a ticket count as like what I'm seeing in the Redskins-Cowboys game or the Chiefs-Raiders game. Where the public likes to get involved is what they perceive to be a cheap number, like Dallas -5 on the road against a team they know that they're better than. And we'll see that. We'll have way bigger liability on Miami games when they're a shorter home underdog, like a 6-7 point underdog, like they were last week against Baltimore when we just had enormous exposure on that game.
What was the biggest win for you guys last weekend?
Oh, the Titans. The Titans in the NFL, no question. The Titans winning outright against Cleveland, that was our biggest win. The other one that was really good for us, everybody bet the Falcons. They were on the road at Minnesota. The Vikings won that game very easily, and we did very well in that game. But the Tennessee game, Cleveland is such a public team right now. I mean, we saw that in the futures market. Tons of money came in on the Browns, came in on Baker Mayfield. And week one, we saw a ton of money on the Browns already. And then I can tell you right now, I'm sure we're going to need the Jets on Monday night, especially in light of the news that Sam Darnold won't be playing with mono. I know we're going to need New York pretty big in that game. For sure.
So the line's off the board right now, right?
No, we actually reopened it. We reopened at 6.5. I've seen a few offshore books are putting it up in more of the 4.5 range. So we've already knocked it down to 6, and we'll probably just keep knocking it down. You know, those arbitrage players, they can't help themselves. They see a difference, they have to bet it. So the number will eventually get tightened more, and soon everybody will have the same number. Those people won't rest until every book has the same line. But right now we're at Cleveland -6. I imagine we'll be shorter than that by the time I get done recording the show with you.
Interesting. And you think, went through the key number. It was 2.5, and you think Simeon's that much worse than Darnold?
We were at -3 even. But, yeah, there was a lot of 2.5 out there at the time. I don't know what to make of Simeon. You know, I never really thought much of him when he was in Denver. And certainly there's a – there's a pretty big difference. We talk about going from Darnold to down to Trevor Siemian.
I may or may not have max bet it yesterday.
The Browns?
Yep.
Nice. Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean, you're in a good spot. I mean, I actually managed to somehow middle a game last week, which I'm never lucky enough to do that. I had that
director.
Well, I think I told you I had the Colts, and then I played or the Chargers, and I played back on the Colts. So, you know, blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes. DK, maybe you can get the Browns to win this game by a field goal on Monday.
Yeah, maybe, maybe, or maybe I won't play back and sweat it out.
Yeah, the only reason I played back was because I liked the Colts side. If I'd liked the Chargers side and I had -3, I would have just let the bet go.
Right.
But I actually liked that Indianapolis side in the game.
I did too. Looking ahead to this weekend, my man. So what do you think's been the biggest overreaction? I know you guys do look ahead lines as well. What's been the biggest adjustment? I would imagine Baltimore, Arizona, and maybe Miami.
Yeah, it'd be hard to say it wasn't New England, Miami. I don't really want to call it an over adjustment though, because New England looks so good and Miami looked so dreadful, but that's the number you've seen move the most in terms of the point spread. And then the other one is Baltimore, Arizona. I like Baltimore. You know, that was a team we saw a lot of sharp guys backing in the preseason in terms of the win total market. But I don't want to go too crazy overreacting to a win over the Dolphins. We don't know yet just how bad Miami is. So we don't want to go too wild with thinking Baltimore is like one of the top teams in the league just because of the way they dismantled the Dolphins on Sunday.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because everyone kind of remembers what they last saw, and that was Lamar Jackson looking terrible against the Chargers in the playoff game. But the Chargers personnel on defense was so perfect for that defense, right?
Yeah.
Then they go like a nickel D, but they had guys who could play basically linebacker and safety.
Yeah, the Chargers had a terrific game plan for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson looked completely lost in that game. I think they even benched him for Flacco, didn't they? Or maybe it was just the camera kept showing Flacco on the sidelines.
No,
they
Flacco did bench him. Came in, I think, at one point.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson was awful in that game. So you got to think that the real Lamar Jackson is somewhere between the Charger game and what we saw Sunday against the Dolphins.
What do you think is going to be the biggest need this weekend?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's probably going to be the Washington Redskins. You know, now we've got about a 7-1 ticket count on Dallas. I mean, you know, the Sunday night game is always a huge need because so many of the parlays go to that game. So we're definitely going to need Atlanta huge in Sunday night football. Everybody's going to be on the Eagles. Atlanta was so unimpressive last week. That's why you'll see a ton of money come in on Philadelphia. And then the other one in the afternoon session for sure is going to be the Oakland Raiders. I know that they looked very impressive on Monday night against Denver, but the public is going to come to the window with both hands to bet the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're already seeing that here. Now, we have had some sharp buyback on the Raiders. We had guys taking +8, +7.5, -110, but the public is coming in heavily on Kansas City for sure.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Raiders. I think we've seen historically some of these home teams on Monday night look great, and then you know it's kind of downhill from there.
You know, the most lopsided ticket count, we're recording this on Thursday morning in Las Vegas. Right now it's actually the Chargers, about 8-1 tickets on the Chargers. They're on the road at the Detroit Lions. I can see why people want to bet against Matt Patricia right now after what I saw Sunday. I'm not going to criticize anybody for that.
I know. It is.
It was bad.
Again, it's fine if Bevel doesn't try to call the timeout. They get the first down.
Yeah. But, you know, that's an organizational thing. You got to have everybody on the same page.
What do we make of Minshew with the Jags?
I think it's hard to really evaluate him because, you know, that game was kind of a blowout. And I don't know that Kansas City's defense was really pressing the way they would have in a closer game. So I never really thought much of Nick Foles, frankly. I don't know how big of a downgrade it is, but we don't really know what to make of Gardner Minshew. That's why you see the number move by so much. You're kind of erring on the side that this guy's a rookie sixth-round pick, and he's going to be completely lost out there on the road against a pretty good defense in Houston. But we don't really know what Gardner Minshew is yet. It's really more of just a guess.
Yeah, that's why I asked. I tell you what, the Tennessee Indy line really surprises me. I thought it'd be
really.
Four.
I thought that one was. I thought that one was kind of one of the easier ones to make. Actually,
I mean, there's
a lot of these lines we discuss, but this one right now we've got Tennessee -3, -120. I thought the Colts looked pretty good.
They did
on Sunday in their loss to the Chargers. Adam Vinatieri's missed kicks notwithstanding. I thought Brissett looked competent, which is what I think he is—a competent quarterback. Malik Hooker made the best play I saw all week in football. That interception he had in the end zone off Phillip Rivers. That was an unbelievable play. There's a lot of talent on that Colts team right now.
No, I like it. I thought the line would be four, just given how strong Tennessee looked. And back-to-back road games, it's not easy, man.
Yeah.
They put a lot into that Chargers game. And
they did.
Just given the whole chip on their shoulder. I don't know. I thought the line would be four. But then again, Tennessee's offense is not that great. You can't lay that many points.
Titans might be, in your mind, a little overvalued right now coming off that win over Cleveland. I mean, that was kind of a misleading final score. That game was not that lopsided at halftime, and then the wheels just kind of came off. Baker Mayfield started really pressing in the second half, made some terrible throws, and the game just completely got away from the Browns. I actually think that loss is not going to be the end of the world for Cleveland. I think it's a dose of reality for those guys, that it's not that simple to just put together this roster of players and just go out there and go straight to the top of the NFL. It might be a good wake-up call for them.
I agree, and I'm on the Browns this week, or at least I was until this line shot up.
Well, I hope you're on the Browns at 2.5.
I'm talking bonanza. Sorry. I am. I'm talking bonanza.
Okay.
And I we'll get you to that in a little bit. I said it on a couple radio hits, and I may have been dead wrong on this Titans team. And obviously they catch a break with the Luck retirement and Foles injury. But this Titans team is legit. I think three's low. I think you're gonna move off that number. I know the juice is trending. I think you'll be at 3.5-4 by kickoff.
I do think that's one of the more interesting games at 10 a.m. That game, and certainly the Green Bay Minnesota game would be the ones I would have my eyes on in the early session. Also Seattle Pittsburgh. I don't like the schedule though. I'll be honest with you. 10 games at 10 a.m. is too many. I don't like when they do this 10 early games, 3 late games schedule.
How do we feel about the Vic Fangio Bowl? Where do we stand on Chicago?
Well, we had a very respected player laid 2.5 with the Bears earlier this week. Right now we're at 2.5 minus 120. You know, I'll be the first to admit I had identified Denver as a dark horse contender this season. I said I thought it would be tough for them because of their schedule and because they're in the division with the Chargers and the Chiefs. But I thought they were going to be a lot better just because they got rid of Vance Joseph. I didn't realize that Vic Fangio was going to be doing equally ridiculous things on fourth downs as his predecessor, Vance Joseph. So I'm downgrading the Broncos. I'm out. I'm abandoning ship after one game. That field goal was too much for me, man.
I wouldn't punt on the Broncos just yet.
They got a lot of talent on defense, but man, there's just some of the stuff I heard. I heard Fangio at the beginning of the game was having trouble with like his microphone and just. Didn't they have 5 preseason games to work out all the bugs? Like, I know this guy's been a DC.
He had kidney stones, too.
Yeah.
That had to take away some of his.
He's been coaching in the NFL for, like, 30 years.
Look, he's a statue pocket quarterback in a bootleg offense, so that's weird. That's not a best. But,
yeah.
Look, you had a drop touchdown. And just that home, like, Monday night thing, like, they have a distinct home field advantage, especially in September. It's, like, off the charts the last, like, 10 years. I would not give up on them being like a 6 or 7 win team.
That's fair. I mean, a 7 win. A 7's what their win total was.
That was what their total was.
I think they could definitely be in that range. But the other thing is Oakland just was a lot more impressive than I thought they were going to be.
Give it time.
No, I like some of their young. Now, here's a problem Oakland's got this week. They've got 2 of their secondary starters out,
exactly.
And they get to play Patrick Mahomes. That is not good. That's bad timing. And then after that, you know, we don't need to go into this again, but after that, they have a very, very tough road schedule coming up.
Yeah, originally they were favored at home, and they had Antonio Brown. So yeah, they won. They don't have Brown. They lost. They won the game one, but I don't think people are saying they're going to be under their win total because of week one. It's because of their schedule and the rest of the year.
Yeah, it was always their road schedule. Right. I mean, it was always like they need to win this game against Denver at home because then they play the Chiefs, and then they've got all these road games. They've got the trip to London. It was always about what was coming down the line for the Raiders, not necessarily that first game.
I'm still okay with my ticket on them to miss the playoffs. Not too worried. 650.
I think you're pretty safe there. I certainly am not saying I think the Raiders are going to make the playoffs. I thought they looked impressive in the first half, and some of the draft picks brought in by Mike Mayock had a pretty good instant impact. I like that Abram kid. It's too bad he's out for the year. That was very unfortunate for them.
I agree with
you. And then certainly Carr looked very sharp. Derek Carr looked very sharp in that game. You didn't really hear the names Von Miller or Bradley Chubb called much in that game on Monday night. because that Raiders offensive line did a great job and Carr did a good job of getting rid of the football.
Where do we stand on Pittsburgh after that showing?
You know, I liked Pittsburgh coming into the season. I don't want to overreact too much because they were on the road against a great New England team, but it was scary to see how bad they looked offensively. They were dreadful on Sunday. Mike Tomlin made two boneheaded decisions, one a punt, another a field goal. I don't know anything positive you could really point to from that Steelers game.
It was pretty pathetic.
It was awful.
And it's too bad because I'm old enough to remember when they had a lot of weapons called the Killer Bees.
And they need to get themselves right in time for this game on Sunday. You know, I think Seattle was also very unimpressive on Sunday against the Bengals. They may have been looking past the Bengals. I'll give Pete Carroll and the Seahawks the benefit of the doubt there. Pittsburgh needs to get right in a hurry because Baltimore is going to be 2-0 after their game Sunday morning against Arizona. And I still think Cleveland is a dangerous team with a lot of talent. So the Steelers really need to get themselves together in a hurry or they're going to miss the playoffs for the second year in a row.
Yeah, this Ravens team is maybe a lot better than I thought. We'll see. I mean, look, they're playing Miami and Arizona the first 2 weeks, but it's going to be interesting how it pans out because if Pittsburgh's this bad and obviously the Browns stubbed their toe, I have faith in Cleveland getting there. But that division really intrigues me.
You know, speaking of Cleveland, while we've been recording, I've been watching the market. It's actually been drifting back up to where close to where we reopened it. We're back to 6.5, and I'm seeing some of the more prominent offshore books are all settling at 6. Looks like Circa is settled at 6, their number for now. There's some 5 and 5.5 still out there, but some of the more prominent books are back up into the 6 range, and we're going to stick at 6.5 until we write another bet. So the number went down, and now it seems to be drifting back up.
Yeah, I saw Chris just a moment ago was at 5.5.
Yeah, they're back up to 6 now, so it's Pinnacle. So we're just keeping an eye on the market. Right? These are always there's always a lot of opinions on stuff like this. Because what exactly is the difference between Sam Darnold and Trevor Siemian?
Well, it's not just that. Le'Veon Bell's getting an MRI on his shoulder, and then two key guys.
CJ Mosley and Quinnen Williams are both. So, yeah, the Jets are dealing with a lot right now. And they're dealing with a Cleveland team that really needs a win for all the same reasons that we just said Pittsburgh needs to win on Sunday. Cleveland is in that same boat because they're both going to be looking up at Baltimore. I'm assuming Baltimore takes care of business against Arizona on Sunday morning, and they're both going to be trying to keep pace with the Ravens.
I like the Rams. There, I said it.
I liked Carolina on Sunday against the Rams. Sean McVay, a tremendous play caller. I thought the play calling, Goff did not look very good, but I was impressed with McVay's play calling, as I almost always am. You know what's funny about this game? I think the reason why there's 10 games at 10 a.m. and 3 in the afternoon was because they wanted to kind of highlight this game, make it the marquee game of the week in that 1:25 time slot. We really aren't writing any money on it. There's hardly anything to report on that game at all. It's one of the least bet games of the week across the entire NFL board.
Why do you think
that's a little strange? I don't know. Maybe they just think that there's not that much separating the teams and there's nothing to argue with on this line. I mean, I'm sure that come Sunday it'll be heavily bet because all three games in the afternoon session will be heavily bet because there's only three of them, right? And there's just less places to spread your money out to. But as of right now, there's really not much to report at all.
I think there's going to be a narrative like, oh, the Saints are mad because they got jawed by the refs last year. Like, I think Drew Brees... Outdoors versus indoors. Saints team's not the same outside of the dome. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. Kamara's going to have a field day just like McCaffrey did. But the Rams are awesome.
I think it's one of the sillier narratives when like a team loses a big playoff game like the Saints did last year to the Rams. And then everybody says they're going to get revenge in the regular season. I got to tell you, the Saints winning this game in week 2 would not be revenge for them losing the NFC Championship game at home last season to the Rams. That doesn't make them even at all.
Yeah, and then, like, that's suggesting, like, the Rams aren't trying to win this, you know, or even more so, does that suggest if the Saints, like, weren't trying to win before? Like, I don't know, like,
it's like I don't really think much of those
strenuously object, few good men. I strenuously object. Oh, okay, and that stuff.
I don't think much of those narratives at all, but I do think that looks to be one of the better matchups. Really, all three of the afternoon games have interesting talking points. I told you there's a lot of sharp money on the Raiders, public all over the Chiefs. That'll probably be the biggest sharp public split of the week. And then there's a lot of talking points in that Bears-Broncos game where both those teams really need a win after disappointing week 1 losses.
What are some other sharp plays? I let the sharps have the Raiders there. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we had a guy I definitely respect took 5.5. They took actually 6 with the Redskins, and then this guy took 5.5. So there was sharp money at 6 and 5 with the Washington Redskins. They're at home against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Dallas looked like a completely new offense with Kellen Moore calling the plays. Absolutely. On Sunday. And I was very impressed with the Cowboys offensively. I think Washington, I said this on our show last week, Washington, or your show last week, Washington probably a little bit better defensively than people realize. I mean, they've got some pretty good pieces in that front seven. They just couldn't keep up with the Eagles for 60 minutes. I'll be curious to see how this game goes. The opener of 6 might have been a little high, but I know the public is going to be running to the window to bet Dallas in this game.
I think in terms of like if my internal power ratings, if you will, I think Dallas has been like the biggest adjustment I've made in my head, so to speak, because I was really impressed with like what you said, Kellen Moore's play calling. And look, I don't know, like, what more proof do we want? Like, with Amari Cooper and Zeke, and like, they're like effective offensively. I don't know what, I mean, I'm not a Dak Prescott guy. Like, I don't think he's going to win some like skills competition, but with his legs and the offensive design, like, he's an effective quarterback. I think this offense is pretty good.
Yeah, and their offensive line is of course, the strength of that unit, for that offensive unit, I should say, in Dallas. And a very good group there. Redskins, they get to play the Eagles O-line last week and now the Cowboys O-line this week. It's a pretty tough start for that front seven, but that is a good group in Washington. I think they'll be able to keep it close. I do think that we're going to need Washington huge.
Yeah, I would agree.
I know we're going to need Washington huge, I should say.
What do you think you'll need in the Minnesota-Green Bay game?
So far, pretty divided there. There's actually a few more tickets on the Vikings than on the Packers, which is a little curious. You know, it's not. I'm not going to call it a bat signal type situation like with Texas A&M, but so far there are a few more tickets on Minnesota. Minnesota, a very impressive win on Sunday, but Green Bay, 3 extra days to prepare for this game, much improved defensively, and I certainly expect Aaron Rodgers to get better as the season goes on. He didn't look too good on Thursday night, but I've got a lot of faith in Aaron Rodgers to right the ship.
Sunday night?
Well, we're going to need Atlanta huge. I mean, there'll be a ton of parlays that are going to go to the – oh, yeah, for sure. Atlanta looked so bad on Sunday.
Yeah, but they're at home.
Yeah, but the public loves those cheap road favorites. That's their wheelhouse. And Atlanta off such a bad performance against the Vikings. We've already got about a 3-1 count on Philadelphia ticket-wise, and my guess is we'll have a ton of parlays going to the Eagles in that Sunday night game. I don't know if it'll be as big of a need as the Patriots or the Steelers were for us last week, but I do think it's going to be a pretty big need.
That's interesting. I have zero opinion on that game. I'm sure I'll get one my kickoff. But
I actually that was the play that I gave to Mr. Musburger. I gave Mr. Musburger a play in that game we can get into later. Well, we're going to find out now. I don't want to spoil everything for the listeners.
We'll get to the bonanza momentarily, but first, a word from one of our sponsors. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The good news? With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments really work. They are up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 per month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to Keeps.com/bets to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/bets.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, not a lot of blood out of the gates. You lost $50 on the juice. I had a bit of a roller coaster. I was able to scalp some profit on Thursday. Now we got to readjust. Feedback on Twitter. Feedback from NFL czar Ed Sammons.
Mr. NFL, we call him around here.
Mr. NFL.
You should have seen him on Sunday. I think Saturday was kind of like Christmas Eve for Ed. And then Sunday, he was just so excited to watch his beloved NFL.
We need to tweak the parameters. So first of all, a couple of people complained because they're like, you know, here's the thought process with the Baby Bankroll Bonanza. I think just like doing, like, as much as I respect the Super Contest and it is the contest, like, I don't like the concept. It's not like, it's not a fair simulation of, like, of gambling. Because it's just like five picks every week, and it's like when you bet in your own bankroll, like you have different amounts you bet on games. You also maybe do 3 1 weekend, 2 the next, 1 0, whatever. And so you have options, and you have halftime bets, you have live wagering, you have other props bets. So it's, I just wanted to simulate an actual gambling experience for the season rather than just like straight picks in a pick'em league.
I understand that, but I talked to Ed. Ed is a huge fan of the show, all kidding aside, big fan. He just said he didn't think it was good advice. There's so many people that are new to this space that are getting betting in these new states. And he's just saying you can't be advising people to push all the way to the borderline of their bankroll or over their bankroll in the first week. And we don't know what kind of limits people have on in-game wagering. I'm not going to speak for every book and all the different places people are betting, but sometimes the in-game limits are lower than the pre-game limits. They always are, actually. And I don't know exactly what people are able to bet on the in-game in the various jurisdictions that are out there.
Understood. And by no means am I recommending this stuff. I'm merely saying what we are doing, and people can listen and feedback and fade us. I don't even care what people do. They should be fading my daily wager for the last four nights, I'll tell you that.
So, really? How's it been going on daily wager?
Well, I'm about 500. I need to look it up. I think I'm like one or two since the show started. That would be negative juice. Since we relaunched and started counting juice, I think I'm like dead even. But that's only like 3 weeks.
It's a grind, man. The NFL is such a grind, man.
I had four straight losses. It's just like, how about when I was 4-1? You guys weren't like loving me. Note to everyone, don't blindly follow anyone. Just listen to people's input. If you think the guy's wrong, fade him. Like, that's fine.
Well, you should listen to all the information that you have available to you and then make a decision on your own. I mean, that's what you should do.
Correct.
I hear a lot of stuff, but ultimately I'm my own man. I make up my own mind about what I want to do.
Right. So fair points, all good stuff. But what I try to do for people who are like, I'll say, hey, I'm taking a big position on this game with the intention of playing back. It just means doesn't mean like I love it and I'm going to sweat it out. It means like I'm trying to like middle and do something like that. Meaning like I'm not going to have that position open, which I happened to do with the Bears game, and I scalped the money line. So I scalped money line, $400 profit, but then lost 200 juice. So I was plus 200 on the Bears Packers opening night. Hey, 3 and 4 were in play there. 3 and 4 were certainly in play on that touchdown. That could have been I could have sided it. What we call siding in the business, where you push one bet and hit the other one instead of middling. That's winning both.
Not a great week for the Mitch Trubisky MVP crowd, you know. And we said earlier on this show that, I should say, I don't want to dismiss the Browns yet. Don't dismiss the Bears yet either. It was one game. Green Bay is a much improved team defensively. All I said in the offseason about the Bears was that I expected them to take a step back from last year. I wasn't really going out on a limb. This team went 12-4 last year. I expected them to take a step back. Green Bay looks to be improved. Minnesota looks to be improved. It's a much tougher division. That's all I said about the Bears, but I still think they'll be okay, and I still think they're a team that can get to the postseason.
So you're down $50. I am down $350, I believe it is. Yes. Nope. Down $400.
Okay. I'm only another two play week, I should say. I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. Play two games each for $500. You want me to go first? As the leader? Like, I got a bogey on the first hole, you got a double bogey?
Correct. Well said.
I'm going to go with Miami, and you know, I wanted to give Miami to Brent Musburger yesterday on VSiN, but I was afraid that if they got down like 42-0 that Brent would never talk to me anymore. So I ended up giving him the Falcons. But I do like Miami in this spot. We've got 18.5 here at the Westgate. There are higher numbers out there. I see a few 19.5s. not that I think 19 is a critical number, but you always want to get the best number you have available to yourself. But I'll go with Miami plus 18.5 for 550.
You got to explain the logic here.
I just think it's an overreaction.
This is the story in week two.
No, I just think the number is a big overreaction. I mean, the Dolphins are still a professional football team, and I think this line, I think that they are. I still like some of the players they have. And look, I could be wrong. I don't have to tell you this. I backed the Browns almost every week in 2017 and usually ended up losing, as you I'm sure you remember that. But I think this line is just too high, and I think it's just over-adjusted too much.
Yeah, I mean, I would not lay the points. I was saying on Twitter, I think I would need 24.5 to get – I just think there's better lines out there. But I think others have said 21.5, so it's a bold move to take the 18.5.
I'm going for it.
We haven't seen this in football, but maybe this is like the Sixers with the trust the process. Maybe this is the Astros. Maybe this is the Orioles just being that bad and tanking.
I think the Browns did it to an extent. I don't know if they let Hugh Jackson in on it, but I think the Browns were doing that to an extent. I mean, they started Deshaun Kizer. If that's not trying to lose, I don't know what is.
Okay. I am taking the Titans, a team that I have season win total under. I am very impressed, and you know, you got to stay nimble in the betting world. And if this is a good spot, I'm going to back them. As much as I thought the Colts were a good play in week one, I was impressed. I'll lay 600 to win 500 on the Titans, -3, -120. Kind of surprised by this line, like we discussed earlier.
Fair enough. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that game. I actually have an under ticket on another team in that division, the Houston Texans. I bet them under wins. Now, at the time, I didn't know that Nick Foles was going to break his clavicle and Andrew Luck was going to retire, but I still think that the Texans' schedule might keep them under wins this year.
Well said. Well said. I had that same issue. You're up for your second pick, and this is the one you gave to Mr. Musburger.
This will be the one I gave Brent. I mentioned it earlier, Atlanta plus 1.5. I see some of the offshore numbers are going to 2 right now. We've got 1.5 here at the Westgate. I think Atlanta finds a way to win this game, gets to 1-1. I think it's a good spot to take them off of such a bad performance last week against Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't fault you there. And what was your pick for Mr. Musburger last week? Was it Tennessee?
Yeah, the Titans. And I was between the Titans and the Panthers, so I was glad I gave him the Titans. I didn't want to give him the Panthers plus 2.5, and actually they ended up losing by 3, so that worked out.
Yeah, the Panthers pretty game well, was a little chic for me. Obviously at 3 it's much better. Because the Rams kind of dominated that game, all things considered.
The Rams, they're a very, very well-coached team. You know, we joke about all these teams we see doing these things every week that we don't agree with, and that just doesn't really happen very often with the Rams. I know they had a field goal in the NFC Championship game that I thought was a very poor decision, but that's like the only thing I can even remember with them. They don't really make too many mistakes.
I also thought it was dicey to go for the touchdown against the Cowboys at home in the playoffs. That was on fourth down.
Yeah, I remember that. I like that, but yeah, I do recall that. I know that was there was some talk about that being a questionable decision.
All right, so I only have a second play as well. We're not going to be doing some live wagering positioning. 550 to win 500 on the Rams -2.5.
Okay, we're both taking it easy this week.
You know what?
Uh-oh.
No. I was going to make that like a 2K. I was going to make that like a 2K bet and play back a little, but no.
Okay.
There's no. I am not super confident that they lead wire to wire. You know, one of those things.
Yeah. No, I can see that. This doesn't really seem like a spot where, like, you wouldn't really be that surprised if the Saints jumped on them early, right?
Correct. And it was just like kind of like the Packers game last year.
Right. I mean, that could absolutely happen for sure.
And there's not like
that should be a great game. There's some good games on Sunday this week, and it's interesting because the college football card on Saturday is pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually like it, but it is an underwhelming. It's not like high profile. There's no ranked matches.
Well, it's going to be fun for. It's always fun for betting. Right. I just meant in the terms of like, there's no Texas LSU game. There's no A&M Clemson game. Not this week.
Right. This Chiefs number is down to 7.
Yeah, they were taking 7.5 minus 7.5 -120 this morning. I mentioned earlier on the show they were taking 8. They were taking 7.5 -10, and just while we were recording, they were taking 7.5 -20. So a lot of money coming in on
the
Raiders
this week.
You just
moved to 7 during this show.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was saying. Okay, I thought it was 7.5 earlier.
As we were recording, those bets came in, and we were actually a lot of action this morning. Usually we record this on Thursday mornings. there's usually not that much going on, but with the Sam Darnold news coming out and all that going on, it was a little hectic this morning.
All right, I'm going to keep an eye for the bonanza on that team total in the Chiefs. I think with both safeties out for the Raiders, I know the Tyreek Hill thing is, but I think, what are we looking at, 30 and a half, 31?
I don't, you know, I don't think, nothing against Tyreek Hill at all, but I don't know how much difference he really makes when you talk about this Kansas City offense. As long as they've got Patrick Mahomes in there, I mean, they're going to be just fine. I think it'll be a little lower than that. Looks like about more like 30 range, but yeah, I mean, as long as Patrick Mahomes is in there, the Chiefs offense is going to keep going even without a couple of receivers.
It will, but he just stretches the D and opens up the middle too. Like, there's just things he does when you have that kind of speed. Sammy Watkins goes off more.
Yeah, it's 7 right now. It's 7 and 53 and a half, so the team totals would be 30 and a half and 23 right. In all likelihood.
Right.
So you'd probably be looking at that.
Yeah. All right, my man. Look, always fun. We're slow out of the gates here. Let's get it going. But that's okay.
It's a long season, man. It's a long season. It's 1 week. You know, I did some media hits with people. You know that I'm not gonna name names here. I'm not gonna hop sing these guys. But they were very emotional about some of their losses the first week, the first 2 weeks of college. And I'm like, would you relax? This is a marathon, man. There's gonna be some ups and downs here.
All right, my man. Always good catching up, dude. Have a good one.
We'll talk later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
Oh, it's the mating call for Mike Clay, who's 3-2 in his primetime props last week. Week one. Way to start out of the gates.
Yeah, we did well, but we should be 5-0. I mean, Alvin Kamara had, what, like 150 yards, had an amazing game, and didn't score somehow. That one, and I can't remember what the other one was we missed, but it was by like 5 passing yards or something.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Watson, we just missed. So it was at least the misses were close, right?
Right. So it's funny that you say that because that a lot of times the modelers, the mathletes that you are, is just like, whatever. You know, like some guys I know don't even need to watch the game. It's like, because it's all about
the
outcome tree, if you will. Is that the right way to, like, it's like not even about sweating and handicap. It's like, look, my distribution of numbers had this and just. One of those percentages came up on that number.
Yeah, but it's fun to follow along. Good. Like you're rooting for your picks, right? Especially because I have a fantasy background, so you're always rooting for the guys you're high on or against the guys you're low on.
I'm
so.
Agreeing with you, and you're rooting for the vanity because.
But you're right though. You trust the process. You got to trust the process.
As a man who's lost 4 straight best bets in daily wager.
Oh man, you're on a cold streak, as they say, but it's not.
What's funny is Monday. I loved team total Texans over. Now I got super lucky, but I like that was my off day, so I was like, I cash you, and I flipped a winning thing. Whatever.
Of course.
But it's okay. So well done. You had some solid plays. Now you got a couple plays tonight, and then not so much Sunday, Monday. So you have a one of each. And so let's talk about this Thursday night game, and in your modeling, you know, we talk about the short turnaround from Thursday from Sunday. So obviously week one doesn't matter. Week one Thursday night, but week two and on. Is it get more pronounced for the road team as the season goes on?
You know, I did quite a bit of research on this a couple years ago, and I didn't see anything that moved the needle enough for me. So I don't. It does not have a large impact on me. I'm more focused on, you know, travel distance or home versus away. Some teams are better at home than others, so I focus more on that than anything else. So I don't have a major. I don't have any major variables for that.
So home away matters because, and I think it does too.
Sure.
But one of the guys on the show, Daily Wager, says for pitchers, home road splits is kind of noise because there's so much other thing. It depends on who you're pitching to.
Okay.
Lefty, righties. Now that's different. I mean, that's really apples and oranges because I think college football is the most pronounced home field advantage of all the sports. College basketball would be, that's just me personally. So I think football, it matters more so than like the noise of a pitcher's road home splits. I'm just curious. You know, I'm pleased to hear that it matters in your modeling.
Yeah, and it matters differently for all of them. Like last week, we talked about liking the over for Dallas and the Giants, not in the show, but in general, because the Cowboys are one of the few teams in the league that give up more points at home, where Seattle, you know, much better at home, and, you know, their home road splits a lot different. Other teams, it's not as big of a deal. Like the Chiefs don't, home field advantage isn't as good as you might think. So it's situation by situation, and that's all factored into this.
Interesting. Okay. All right, man. So the Panthers are at home with the Bucks.
Yeah.
And what do you got for me?
Yeah, first one, Cam Newton under 34.5 pass attempts here. I have him closer to 32 in this game. Not a huge gap, but, you know, in terms of projections here, it is a bit significant. And the thing is, I mean, this is kind of more interesting than I thought when I look back at it. In 2017, the Panthers won 11 games, right? Back in 2017. Cam Newton failed to clear 35 pass attempts in all of those games. Last season, something similar. 36.6 pass attempts and 8 losses. That's well above this line, 34.5, but only 29.7 pass attempts per game in 6 wins. So this is a kind of a trend here, and it makes sense, right? If they win games, he doesn't have to throw the ball as much. This is a conservative offense for the most part. Now, why is that all important here? Well, I have the Panthers as a 5-point favorite. They are at Caesars, they're a 7-point favorite. We expect them to lead in this game. We expect them to win this game. He's not going to have to throw it as much as he would if it was a close game,
right,
or so they were on the road.
Game script lends game itself script to the under in that prop bet.
Exactly. So I think he does fall a little bit short of this number, as he has the last few years.
All right, so minus a quarter on the juice there. Last check, 34.5 pass attempts. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Jameis Winston, can you bet on a pick six here?
A pick six?
Yeah. I don't believe you can.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. If he runs the other direction, maybe Winston will throw it to him. It's very possible. Yeah, you might actually think, speaking of game script, you might think, well, then Evans on the over, right? They're behind. That actually does not work out here. I'm going to go under 84.5 receiving yards. That line's just too high, I think. So I'm at 71 yards. He is averaging 56.6 receiving yards per game in 10 career games against the Panthers. Again, remember, it's in the division, so these teams see a lot of each other. He's been under 85 yards in 4 of his past 5 against this team. And again, you don't want to get too caught up with that historical stuff. Like 5 years ago, it doesn't matter that much, fine.
That's what I was just about to ask you, Josh Norman and
other guys
of the division.
But here's the thing. He had a lot of success, Evans did, against James Bradberry, who has shadowed him in 5 straight games between these teams. A lot of early success. Bradberry starting to emerge, you know, as he gets into his third and fourth year in the league, get better, and he has had Evans' number. Last year, in 2 games, Mike Evans had a total of 16 targets, 5 catches, 64 yards against the Panthers. I mean, Bradberry shadowed him in both games and did a terrific job. So, again, 84.5, just too high. Like, he should have a solid day, but that number is just too high for me.
I'm glad you mentioned some of that, because there's philosophy in this. Like, I think that we brought up a stat of the Saints being 1-9 ATS the first last five years, 1-9 ATS the first 2 weeks of the season. So they're slow starters. Mm-hmm. Now, what does 2016 have to do with this? Well, it is still Breeze. It is still Sean Payton. And this is a team that plays a lot. So I'm okay with that stat being applied. Now, this case with Arians now on the offense, that offense is more for, like, as many wide receivers out there, quick throws, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Arians kind of offense is predicated on, rather than like max protection and letting Jameis throw downfield deep.
That's another thing. I mean, Evans only had 5 targets last week, and Jameis Winston, who's been top 5 in average depth of throw each of his first 4 seasons, was at about 8.5 last week, which is a drop of about 2 yards per throw. I mean, it was different. It was more quicker throws. It was more short yardage throws. That could hurt Evans.
Right. That's what I was about to say. So the way that you lose that Evans prop, I mean, obviously if he gets like 11 balls for 95 yards, you lose, but it's more likely he's going to get one big chunk play, right? Yep. Like a 45-yard jump ball sort of on 3rd and long, and he gets it and gets his feet in. That's like a 45-yard, and then now you only have 41 yards to play with right there.
Yeah, and
or 40 yards.
Yeah.
So I actually think the Arians offense hurts Evans doing that. I think the fact that it's Arians offense and not the previous regime of Cutter lends itself to the under even more so.
Yeah, no doubt. And this is a better Panthers defense on top of everything else. Right. Adding Gerald McCoy, who they stole away. I mean, the Bucs cut him loose and they signed him up front. That interior defensive line is the best in the NFL. You know, it sets up for a tough day for the Bucs, who really struggled. They should have won that game last week against the 49ers. That was a team they should have been able to move the ball on. They still have big problems in that secondary, and they were awful. So I
like that play a lot, actually.
All right.
Fire away on your prop here.
Yeah, last one, more of a long shot here. We're going to Cameron Brate first touchdown at 20-1, of course, being the first to score a touchdown in tonight's game. You know, I was surprised it was that low, honestly, because this is a guy, if we think about him, what do you think? You think a guy that's a part-time player who scores touchdowns. It's pretty much what he brings to the table. 6 or more receiving touchdowns each of the past 3 seasons. Again, despite playing a part-time role, he is ranked no lower than 8th at tight end in end zone targets during that span. He is 6 or more all 3 of those past 3 seasons. And, you know, I thought he would be kind of phased out completely of the Bruce Arians offense. We know it's super wide receiver happy. We figured they're going to involve O.J. Howard in his third year a lot. But nonetheless, he only ran 3 fewer pass routes than Howard last week. He was involved a lot more than I expected. So he's going to be a factor. And where is he a factor? It's at the goal line. If they get close, he's going to be on the field. He's going to get a target or two. Would not shock me at all if the Buccaneers throw it his way when they get down near the goal line. So at 20-1, I like it. I like
right.
the dart
It's
there.
Juiced a little bit just because they're the underdog. So game yeah. script, but like first touchdown. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you can, I mean, what the Texans scored the first. I mean, the right Washington scored for, yeah, I'm thinking about, on Sunday, right? We did our survivor picks. I had the Saints, the Eagles, I got lucky on a few of those, but the other team got the lead first, right? Yeah, yeah. And the better team won. So it happens. It could be as simple as the coin toss.
Okay. Let's go to Sunday. Devontae Freeman, yes, to score a touchdown. Why?
Yeah. I think he bounces back. I mean, again, speaking of last week, I was asked, who are people going to be panicking about after week one? It was the Falcons offense, of course, going into Minnesota. That was a really tough matchup. They're back home this week. They play the Eagles. They just lost Malik Jackson up front. That's big for Freeman, who does a lot of his damage between the tackles. So I do think he is a good bet to get into the end zone at plus $1.40 here. If you go back to his last three healthy seasons in the league, so he was out 2018, most of that, all but one game. During those previous three seasons, 29 rushing touchdowns. That was tied for most in the NFL. 41 carries inside the five. That was second most, and it was consistent. He was top five in carries inside the five all three seasons, and that was just rushing. He also scored six receiving touchdowns as well. Again, only eight carries in week one. It was a bad game script. Arvon McClure covers the Falcons for us, said, don't get caught up on that. He's the guy. He's going to play more. He's healthy. He's good to go for a bounce back here in week two. So again, at $1.40, I'm going to take that chance.
And so what is it with the Falcons? They just can't handle a pass rush like the Vikings, and the Vikings defense is really good. Let's not overreact.
The Vikings have been, this is year four of them dominating on the defensive side of the ball under Mike Zimmer. I mean, again, it was a road game for Atlanta. We should not have been surprised. I was down in the Falcons offense. I think we all pretty much were. It was a really tough situation to go in there in week one against Minnesota. And again, the Eagles do have a pretty good defense, but, you know, losing Malik Jackson up front, they're not as good in the front seven, especially with depth as they've been in past years. Makes me a little nervous because I'm actually an Eagles fan. I grew up an Eagles fan. So I'm like, I keep a close eye on the Eagles. That worries me a little bit. But again, I think that Freeman is going to continue to be their featured asset near the goal line. That's never been Julio Jones. You know, it's never been even Calvin Ridley, who was way over his head in touchdowns last year. It should be the Freeman show inside the five. They'll probably get an opportunity in that area, and I think Freeman will deliver.
Let's go to Monday Night Football. Feed the people.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. Another touchdown prop here. I usually don't do this. I'm usually going to look at the yardage and stuff, but a lot of those were really close this week, so I didn't have a ton of confidence. But I'm going to go with yes to Odell Beckham Jr. finding the end zone at plus $1.15. So not as appealing as Freeman, but it's still, I think, a good bet. 12 targets for OBJ in week one. Obviously, he's going to be a feature target. This guy has at least 11 end zone targets all four seasons of his career in which he's played at least 12 games, 46 touchdowns in 60 career games. We know that he's terrific in that area. You know, you look at the Jets. This game is in New York. But the Jets did not do enough to address their secondary this offseason. That cornerback group
is really thin. It's really thin. I actually had the over week one because of how thin it was, and obviously Josh Allen didn't exploit it enough. But, you know, over the years, it's been gangrene defense, especially early in the season, has always been ahead of the offense. But it's really thin. It's a weakness for them. They don't have a pass rush unless Quinnen Williams is really that strong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And last season, they gave up the most targets and receptions to receivers. They allowed 19 touchdowns to receivers. That was ninth most. 30 end zone targets to receivers, sixth most. And that was with Morris Claiborne, obvious opposite Tremaine Johnson. He's gone. I mean, they're actually worse off at cornerback than they were when they gave up those numbers last season. You know, obviously, he's going to see a lot of Tremaine Johnson and Darrell Roberts in this game. It sets up as a nice matchup for him. And you touched on it. They were beat up by John Brown last week, and that's going to be the similar role that Beckham plays in this game. So, again, with the result volume he's seeing, his history of scoring touchdowns, and the matchup, I think there's a good chance at plus $1.15 he could pay this one off.
Well, he better, because I drafted him in the first round of my fantasy. I have him in both fantasy leagues. So.
Oh, it's good you drafted him, I guess, and not like the team they're playing. The offensive guys on the team they're playing, the Jets just, what a mess
Anderson.
Right now.
I have Robbie Anderson, but, you know, I also got Hollywood Brown, and I started him over Anderson.
No way, did you?
Yeah.
That's a good call. I mean, you got lucky. Played 12 snaps?
I didn't get lucky. One team's playing Buffalo's D, and the other team's playing the Dolphins, and Lamar Jackson loves him. I think, for your little fantasy podcast, it is not a mirage. He is going to be a great fantasy producer.
I can see that, but he has to play more. If he plays 12 snaps a game, it's not going to happen.
I don't necessarily agree. He's gonna go over his props and yards, over his season props and receptions. He is like who Lamar Jackson likes, and you have a speed burner like that. Think about the defense is focusing on the run. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a different offense.
Yeah. I would take the under unless his snaps go up.
Okay. I mean, but also the snaps go down because he's got ripping off 80-yard touchdowns.
Yeah.
He would have more snaps if the drive required more snaps.
They won't be playing the Dolphins every week.
But the whole team's number of snaps was down, right? In a lot of ways, if you're getting these huge chunk plays.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I'm not sure they're going to sustain that level. But then again, I think we were sitting in like the same area of the building a year ago and you were talking about the Chiefs, the same kind of thing, right? So I was like, they can't sustain this. You're right. Like, I don't know. I think this is different. So I'll give you props for that one. You hit a home run.
Sometimes you just like I'm curious. As the Dolphins, are they like really tanking like we've seen with the Astros a few years ago, the Orioles the last couple of years? Like, is this something we haven't seen before? Or is this just like, look, they're bad, but they're not like historically bad?
Yeah, the thing about Miami is they were already bad. Like, they got rid of a majority of their veteran talent. They have a couple decent pieces in their secondary, though they got lit up in week one. But on top of that, as if it was bad enough that you got rid of all these guys and the team didn't look good, they were extremely busy on cut day. They had like five different dudes come in on defense and play somewhat of a role last week. I mean, they were with the team for a few days and then they go into this game against Baltimore. I mean, it was a disaster and it was set up to be one as well. So yes, this could be a historically bad defense.
What
does
your spreadsheet say about the Dolphins spread with Patriots?
That being, all that said, all that negative stuff I just said, I don't know if there's a model out there that's going to take the Patriots here.
So what do you have as your like margin?
I have it 15, okay, I believe, so which is really high.
Yeah.
Still 19 is too much. I mean, that stuff, especially considering that New England has lost straight up five of the past six times they've gone to Miami, which is incredible. Like they've just,
The whole lateral play, the crazy play at the end of the game.
Yeah, that was crazy too, but you know.
And it's the heat. It's September. Heat, that's a lot of thing.
Yeah, the sun on the sideline down there.
Yeah, people talk about that a lot. So.
Uh-huh.
All right, bud. Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate the perspective and the insight.
Yep, always fun.
And,
talk to you soon.
Let's stay hot. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
That guy is kryptonite on a stick.
Not Mike, but yours truly here. Last few days in Daily Wager. That's baseball. That happens. Come on. It's nonsense. We're hot in college football, I wouldn't say. 7-4 on the Chalk website. I have 8 plays, Travis, I submitted for college football on the ESPN Chalk page.
Well, like we said, this is a weekend where not a lot of ranked matchups, so this might be the weekend that the bettors can actually take advantage of the games.
4 first half plays. Destructive.
So that means if it goes bad, that just means more bets are coming.
Yes. You double up at half. No. No, there's a handicap involved in like the first half versus the game, and there's logic. Some of these big spreads, like Nick Saban always takes the foot off. So I'm gathering my picks for the NFL column. I definitely only have 2. The 2 I did with Mr. Murray. You gotta tread lightly there. Got to tread lightly.
Well, going into week 2, I think a lot of people might overreact. So you're right. See what happens and let things, you know, kind of fill their way out. And then week 3, then you have a little more, you know, evidence on teams
right.
and what
as,
to do.
As do odds makers. But I think a key to all this is like situational spot playing. Like I like Clemson first half because I think it's a good spot. We'll see if it translates to a W in the win column, you know, in the betting column. But I was just referencing the kryptonite. So Mike's been hot. Thanks to Mr. Director. Long ways to go here with the Bonanza. And Travis, we're up and running, my man.